praying for me, myself, and I. But we're going to have to begin to pray for our neighbors, pray for our church family. This is our family. When we say everybody here is my family. And I thank God. And I want to say the legacy that we're leaving for our children is living holy. We're showing them by demonstrating our prayer life, our faith in Him, and our steadfastness. The scripture tells us to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, that we know that our labor won't be in vain. It won't be in vain. But when I was laying on my face praying here in Houston, the Lord was working on our daughter in Alaska, stirring her in prayer, stirring her in the things of God, calling her, drawing her. And Alaska time is different than us. And we get a phone call in the middle of the night, Mother Newton.
We thank you for tuning in to the Telling of His Goodness broadcast. We pray you were inspired, blessed, and encouraged from hearing the Word of God today. If you would like a copy of my book, Telling of His Goodness, you may phone me at 318-305-6965. You may like me on Facebook, connect with me on Google+ or Twitter. May God bless you until we meet again at the same time next week.
A wonder in my
soul. I feel that, y'all. Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord in Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, Mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Oh, he's a wonder in my
soul. I feel that, y'all. Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, Mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast. Brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church. Pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II. One church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
Since 1776,
says, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto us all good things. I present to you our own pastor, Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Come on and put those hands together and receive
him. Bless you, bless you. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, thank you afresh for this is another wonderful opportunity you've granted your people to hear your word. Take the truth, Lord, and tailor it so that each and every one of us hear what you have to say to each of us. Meet us where we are. Lift us to the place you'd have us to be. And gracious God, we'll be ever so careful after you've revealed the principles to practice them for profit and give you all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, amen. Bless the Lord. You may be seated in God's presence. There is a word in 1 Kings chapter 18, and we're going to read verse 41 through verse 46. My reader is going to read, I'm going to share the story, and then we're going to get into some principles so that we'll understand how to practice them and certainly prosper from them. All right, Irina.
1 Kings chapter 18, verse 41. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink. And Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. And he said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot, and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not.
Praise the Lord. I certainly think some of you are familiar with this story. It is where Elijah tells King Ahab, because of his sins and his practices, God is going to stop rain and dew from falling to the earth for a span of 3 years and 6 months. During this period, there will be great famine because of the great drought. Many orchards and farms and even people will die during this. And when this experience happens, Ahab wants to do like many of us do, blame everybody else but himself. And so once Elijah pronounces to Ahab that God is not going to let it rain because of this, he says it and he disappears. Ahab has sent out an APB for him, all points bulletin, trying to find him. Nobody can find him. He make the men who look for him swear to an oath that they did not see him. They could not find him. He literally disappears in thin air. That's the way it appears. He then again is sent, Elijah, down by the brook of Cherith, where God sustains him from drinking in the brook. He sends a raven to feed him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening. And after a while, the brook dried up. And Elijah is then commanded to go to Zarephath, where there's a little widow woman who's preparing her last supper for she and her son to eat and die. And if she listens to the man of God, she'll be sustained through the famine. He comes through the gate and he sees a woman coming across the path of a gate, and he asks her for a cup of water. She goes on her way to get the cup. He said, listen, and while you're going to get that, get me a little cake also, a little morsel of bread. And she said, as the Lord liveth, I have not but a hand full of meal and a little oil in the cruse. And I was preparing two sticks that I might eat this, me and my son, and die. And the man of God tells her if she would do what he asked her to do first, that she will be sustained throughout the famine. She obeys the man of God, and for 3 years and 6 months, all that she has sustains her and never runs out until the rain comes back upon the earth. And so Elijah now, after the 3 years and 6 months have passed, he's on his way back in. He sees Obadiah, who is one of the king's servants, but a man who feared the Lord. And so he tells him, tell the king, I'm here. I'm ready to talk to him. Obadiah shakes in his boots because he says, we've all looked for you, and if I go back and tell the king I found you and you disappear again, then the king will take my life. And Elijah had to tell him, no, I'm going to be right here when King Ahab comes back. He said, don't you remember? I saved 100 prophets, put them in 2 different caves by 50 and fed them with bread and water. He was pleading his case like, listen, don't let me down. Now, I'm going to do this, but I need you to keep your word. The chance meeting happens. And so Elijah and King Ahab are meeting. One of the things that I think is important that you understand is God sent him to pronounce the start of the famine and the rain, drought, and God sends him back to pronounce the end of the drought. The man of God is used in both situations. And it is at this 41st verse that he is listening in the spirit realm. He's attuned his hearing to God. He heard in the spirit what God was doing in the atmosphere. And he heard a sound as of an abundance of rain coming his way. And that was exciting because he knew that God honored his word in keeping the rain back, and now God is honoring his word in preparing to let the rain fall. So he's excited in telling the king this great news, and he tells him that he needs to strengthen himself, get up and eat and prepare himself for the journey so that he is able to make it to the city of Jezreel before the rain stops him. In other words, there's going to be such an onslaught, a storm, if you will, of great rain coming down, that if he does not get himself together and get on the road quickly, he won't be able to make it for all of the rainfall. Now, I want to say something about this, because one of the things that the believers need to be attuned to today, awakened to today, aware of today, is hearing God in the spirit, in the inner ear, in the inner man, hearing God above all the noises of the world, hearing God in the spirit where you hear him at his purest form. And so we miss that many times, and in missing that, we miss the fact that our hearing, both naturally and spiritually, are connected to the way that God communicates with us. Romans 10, 17 says, so then faith cometh by what? And hearing what? Now, that means this. This atmosphere is charged with both godly words and wicked words, of supernatural words and natural words. Here is what you need to know. While you may hear all of those words, it makes a difference in what you're listening for. Because you can hear something and it go in one ear and come right out the other, which means literally that you paid no attention to it. It's called white noise. Others call it trash noise, not even worth hearing. All right? It's like going into a place and a certain genre of music is your type, you listen. If it's not, you hear it, but it don't do nothing for you. Ain't no beating of the finger, no tapping of the foot, ain't no moving you no kind of way. It's just stuff you hear that goes in and comes out. In this atmosphere, negative words, just as positive words, are spoken in the atmosphere. What makes a difference in your life is what you listen to. Where you are determines what you hear. What you are determines what you listen for. Let me say that again because you didn't seem to get that. I said, where you are determines what you hear. Well, if you're in a place where they're cussing and fussing, that's what you're going to hear. Whole lot of that stuff. If you're in the wrong place, you're going to hear a lot of wrong talk. If you're in a place where a lot of negativity is, you're going to hear a lot of negative stuff there. All right? Now, because of what you are and what you're made of, you are a Christian, you are a born-again believer, that kind of talk don't interest you. You're usually not in that place, and you're usually in a place where you can listen for the positive and for the good, where you're listening for the message that God has for you that will resonate underneath your skin. So what you are determines what you listen for. If you are a good person, you're listening for good things. You want to hear good stuff. You want to hear that that's pure and right and righteous and real. If you're evil, you don't want to hear good stuff. You want to hear bad stuff. You won't hear nasty jokes, violent, obscene jokes. You won't tell all that kind of stuff. Now, here's what's important. What you hear many times is repeated out of your mouth. So if you're in a negatively charged area, atmosphere, when you speak, most times you're going to put out what you put in. You're going to put out your mouth what you put in your hearing. So when you tell somebody what happened today, most times it's going to be with where you are or where you were. Now, I want to make again this point. One of the other reasons why you want to be careful about where you are and what you listen to is it shapes the content in your mind. Your content. Do you know content is the food for thought? So what you put in your mind is that your mind generally feeds on unless it's given an assignment to focus on. That's why they say an idle mind is the devil's workshop. Because when your mind is idle, does not have anything real, rich, and refreshing to think on, to analyze, etc., then the enemy puts or pulls up trash from the past that will bring you back into a place where he can control it. Your mind needs the Word of God. Because when your mind gets through processing it, your mouth speaks it. Then the Bible says, Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So you need to be where God's word is constantly going in, where you're meditating upon it day and night. Meditating, of course, means to mutter. It means to speak softly those things that you've heard or read or are thinking on out of your mouth. Let me tell you again how important hearing is. We quote 2 Chronicles 7:14 all the time. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. But what we don't pay attention is, because we don't understand this next part, then will I hear from heaven. Then will I hear from heaven. Then will I hear from heaven. Forgive the sin and heal the land. When does the forgiving of the sin and healing the land come? After I've heard from heaven. From heaven. So that means this, that my hearing is akin to my blessings. What am I listening for? What am I trying to hear from God? Am I trying to hear the mess that's going on here, or am I trying to hear God? God, what are you saying to me? What is the message you want me to get? And listen to this. Oftentimes, God speaks that way in a very still, small voice. Why? Because he wants you to pay attention to what he's saying. He won't have to run you down and make you listen to him. He wants to know that you want to hear what he has to say. And you're listening for it. A good listener will be successful in many areas of his or her life because they will hear things others won't. Somebody gets a gift and say, how did you know? Because I was listening to what you said. I was listening. Listen. See, some folk just talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. And then they got other folk who listen if the talk is worth anything, and they decipher what they're really saying. How many of you know some people talk, but they're not saying anything? And some people talk and say in what they're talking what they really mean, but they don't figure you care enough to even pay attention to it. So it's important to understand that the listener has got to be the one to listen for the message, to hear it with God many times, because he wants to make sure you are paying attention. Now let's go back to the text and deal with that. Verse 41 talks about Elijah telling Ahab to get up and to eat and to strengthen himself, etc. And this is for the journey of going back to Jezreel and getting there before the rain stops him, because there is a sound of an abundance of rain, not a shower, not a mist, but a great downpour, flash flood warnings. That's just how it's coming down. Amen. He tells him that because he realizes that God is faithful to do what he has promised in hearing from God. God lets him hear what he's asking God for. And so he hears the sound of rain. Not just a little rain, but an abundance of rain. He's so excited about it. Not Ahab. Ahab don't hear nothing. His servant doesn't hear nothing. Do you know why? Because they wasn't listening for it. He was listening, so he's excited. He tells his servant, go down to the sea and tell me what you see. Servant runs down there. He comes back. I see nothing. He tells him, go back again. Tell me what you see. Comes back again. I see nothing. Go back again. And he does this seven times. But on that seventh time, he comes back and he says, I see a cloud about the size of a man's hand. Didn't mean nothing to the servant, but that was shouting news for Elijah. Because now, listen, what he had heard far away in the natural realm, he heard it in the spirit realm. And now the cloud was confirmation that what he heard in the spirit was on its way. Listen at me well now. Excuse me. And so he's excited about that, and he's got to tell Ahab, man, you better get going. You better get going quick, because it's on the way and it's about to happen. Ahab is excited about that because that's what his land needs. So now, here you'll understand again, as he's ministering, as God has said that, now verse 45 tells you everything is black. The skies are black now. The man just a moment or two ago saw a cloud the size of a man's hand, but he couldn't understand that. That made no sense to him. But the next thing you look up and see, now the heavens are black with clouds, ready to burst and bring down the rain, bring down the fruit of what he had been praying for and waiting for. And then the record is, of course, that he does something remarkable, and I'll tell you a little more about that at the end of this teaching. But here's what I want you to see, because so many of us are missing what God is trying to say to us because we're listening with our natural ear rather than our inner ear or our spirit ear. The spirit man's ear, the inner ear, that's the hearing that's attuned to heaven's frequency. Your spirit man will hear things that your natural man won't hear. What'll make sense to you in the spirit won't make sense to you in the natural. And you've got to learn how to distinguish the voice of God and hear how he speaks to you when he wants to say something profound to you or give you something you've been waiting for. You're going to have to realize that you are going to have to participate in the process to make sure you get the advance notices or the advance warnings or the preview of what is to come. It's not that God is not speaking, it's just that you're not listening. So, preacher, tell me, how can I attune my listening to hear for what God is trying to show me of what is to come, of what is the future, of what is the answer to my prayer, of what is the blessing that's on the way, the deliverance, etc., etc.? Because you're going to recognize that this principle is here to help us understand that we must listen for what God has provided for us and then put that into action and bring that closer to us quicker. If Elijah wouldn't have heard the sound of the abundance of rain, he wouldn't have been stirred to look for it. If he wouldn't have been stirred to look for it, he would not have been living in expectation of God doing what he was going to do immediately. You see, sometimes God will do some things that he intends to do, but he prolongs them and delays them because you're not ready for them. One of the best ways to show God that you're ready for him is to be looking for him and for that he promised he was going to do for you. God knows you're ready when you've done your part and you're like, Lord, I'm waiting on you. God wants you to wait on him. It's always, most times, I should say, not always, but it's most times that God is waiting on us. And we think we're waiting on God. But God wants you to hear this, and this is why this is so important, that you learn how to listen for his speech, his word. Listen to what he promised. Listen to what he said. There is a sound of an abundance of rain. God is telling somebody there is a sound of an abundance of healing, but you don't hear it in your spirit, man. And therefore, you're not looking for it to manifest in your body. There is a sound of an abundance of deliverance. This